For ladies and gentlemen, there are no little sins. Amen? Not only is it our hope to expose the enormity of little sins, but to prevent the progression of sin. You know, if you take and boy, can't we see this in our country? There was a day in our country where we taught and disciplined children, and they turned out to be productive adults. Now they don't do that. Do you know it's a lot easier to take a tree just after you put it in the ground and bend it than it is after it's grown for 20 years? Amen? After it's grown for 20 years, all you really end up doing is cutting it down, because it's not going to bend the way you want it to. So it's our hope to prevent the progression of sin. It's our hope to remind us that repentance of sins is really what we need. Not just the world and their sins, but us and our sins that we deal with. Amen. Last week we opened our series with the preeminence of pride. And we talked about how when Lucifer, before the foundation of the world, thought in his heart that he was going to be God. And he said, I will make my throne above God, and I'm going to be just like God. And he was filled with pride. And we looked at the start of pride there in the heart of Lucifer. We looked at the scars of pride, how it's scarred characters in the Bible, it's scarred families, it's scarred Christians, it's scarred churches. And we looked at the sinfulness of pride. These six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are abomination to Him. A proud look starts the list, ladies and gentlemen. So we talked about the sinfulness of pride. Only by pride cometh contention, Proverbs 13:10 tells us. And we talked about the show of pride. You see that in Matthew chapter 6, amen, as God tells us and instructs us, listen, when you pray, don't do it for show. Amen? When you give, don't do it for show. When you fast, don't do it for show. Because otherwise, it's just pride. And then we talked about the separation of pride, how it separates us from communion with Christ and consecration and conviction. And then really the sermon of pride. What did we really learn last week? Well, realize that pride is sneaky. Brother Apple and I were talking before the service. And you know, in our generation, there's a good kind of pride. There's taking pride in your work. Amen. There's taking pride in working hard. There's taking pride in raising your children and having a clean home and all those things. But if we're not careful, we can forget who it is that gives us every ability and every dollar that we ever have. And that's God. And so we're to realize that pride is sneaky. And then we talked about remember who you are and who you were before you got saved. By the way, I don't have to go back, Miss Judy, to look at what I was before I was saved. I know what I am now. Unless you think, oh, well, haven't you improved? Well, I certainly have, but all with God's help. Amen. See, we get to thinking we're something when we're nothing, and we deceive our own selves. Amen. So, realize who we are, and then remember who God is. Reflect on who God is. Request His help with pride. If you struggle with pride, say, God, please help me. Repent of pride. Amen. Remain humble. And then lastly, I put this, repeat as necessary. Amen. Sometimes you find that in instructions. Repeat as necessary. If someone breaks into your house, insert clip, pull slide, squeeze trigger, repeat as necessary. Amen. The same thing with these principles that we have, talking about realizing pride sneaky and remember who you are and realize who God is and repent of pride and remain humble. Well, our context today, we learn of two brothers, twins, Esau and Jacob, as different as night and day. Isn't it amazing? I find this fascinating, knowing my wife and her sister. They're a year and 6 days apart. And they are as different as night and day. I mean it, just different. Both wonderful in their own rights, but just different. I have known sets of twins all my life. And I have never known twins that weren't polar opposites from each other. They look exactly the same, but they just, and Jacob and Esau were that way. They were completely different from one another. And our text tells us, if you go back to Genesis chapter 25, Esau was that firstborn. In verse number 27, Esau, the oldest here, and he was hairy red when he came out. Verse 27, it says, "And the boys grew, and Esau was a cunning hunter and a man of the field, and Jacob was a plain man dwelling in tents, and Isaac loved Esau because he did eat of his venison, but Rebekah loved Jacob." So here's Esau, he's the firstborn. He's a man's man. He's a hunter, and he's his dad's favorite. And I'll tell you, if you get studying the Bible, you'll find out that Esau represents the flesh. Esau represents that man that thinks it's my good work that gets me to heaven. And that's why when you read later in the Bible how God hated Esau and loved Jacob, it didn't mean that God didn't have any love for Esau. God hates the flesh. Hates the flesh and what it does. Amen. And that's what Esau represents. He represents that fleshly, carnal, self-dependent man. Hey, sir, you have some skills in your life and God's blessed you with some talents. Listen to me. Have prayer every day before you start working because it's God that gave you those skills. Amen. But then there was Jacob. Jacob was the second born. Jacob was a bit of a mama's boy. Jacob was, forgive me folks, Jacob was a rascal. You say, oh no, Pastor. Read about him. Just read about him. He was a rascal. And he, in spite of all his shortcomings, you know what he represents? He represents a man who had faith in God. And you know what, ladies and gentlemen? That person that thinks they can work their way to heaven can't. And you know what the good news is for us rascals? That we can be saved by faith. And Jacob, though he was a rascal, and though he did things that we would shake our head at, he did have faith, didn't he? He did. We learn here in this context here that Jacob steals, or he weasels away, in verses 29 through 34, Esau's birthright. Now listen, ladies and gentlemen, you have to do a bit of study, and I certainly don't have the time today to do a complete study on the birthright, but it was very important. It entitled you to a larger portion of the inheritance. It made you, especially at this time, the spiritual patriarch of the family. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, and when we read of the God of Abraham, Isaac, it should be Esau. But he sold it away for this bowl of pottage here, this bowl of beans. And so Jacob steals away Esau's birthright. And then in chapter 27, we didn't read all of chapter 27, but he also, with his mother's help, steals Esau's blessing. It was a blessing that Jacob had reserved, and they faked Jacob out, and you can read the story on your own there. And so what happened in these two texts was, if you look at chapter 25, look at verse 34. What was Esau's reaction to his younger brother's conniving ways? Well, in verse 34 of chapter 25, it says, "Then Jacob gave Esau bread of pottage and lentils, and he did eat and drink and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." If you look over chapter 27, in verse number 41, we see not only did Esau despise his birthright, but verse number 41 of chapter 27 tells us, it says there, and as soon as I can find it, I'm one page off, it says, "And Esau hated Jacob because of the blessing wherewith his father blessed him. And Esau said in his heart, 'The days of mourning for my father at hand, then will I slay my brother Jacob.'" So not only did he despise his birthright, he sought to destroy his brother. He said, "I'm going to kill him." Didn't Jesus talk about that in Matthew chapter 5? If we have hatred in our heart, we've committed murder. Did you know no one committed murder without first hating in their heart? This is what we're talking about, folks. These are the little sins that lead to the big sins. And so he despised his birthright. He sought to destroy his brother. According to Hebrews chapter 12, and we won't take the time to turn there, he delved into bitterness. It said, talks about there in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 15, it says, looking diligently, lest any man fail the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up in you, and thereby many be defiled. And then it goes on to talk about Esau. You see, folks, can I tell you this? Bad things happen. Not difficult. Amen. Bad things happen. Can I tell you this? You will be wronged at some point in your life. Someone will wrong you and hurt you and harm you. Amen. It will happen. People do hurt other people. And sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, God's ways baffle us. And if we're not careful, before we even know it, we have allowed ourselves to become bound by the sin of bitterness. And I want to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. Bitterness is a sin. You say, well, I don't think it is. I don't care what you think. In the Bible, it's a sin. And so it may be your private, personal sin that you like petting, but it's still a sin. Bitterness. And we need to get rid of bitterness. I want to talk today about the bondage of bitterness. What does bitterness bind us to? And bitterness is simply being wrong, but not getting past it, not getting over it, constantly going to it over and over. Well, this happened, and this happened, and this is the way I'm this way, and this is the reason why I do this. It's bitterness. It's bitterness. And bad things happen, but it doesn't mean you have to be bitter about bad things happening. Do you know in life a whole lot more good things happen than bad things? We focus on the bad and we give in to bitterness. And bitterness, number one today, bitterness binds us to the past. Bitterness binds us to the past. Go back into Genesis chapter 27 and look at verse 36. Verse number 36 of Genesis chapter 27. I want you to notice this here. Esau has been conned out of his birthright and his blessing. And he says to his father, and he said, after verse 35, Jacob says, thy brother came with subtlety and hath taken away thy blessing. And look, if you would, at verse 36. And he said, is not he rightly named Jacob? By the way, the word Jacob means deceiver. Deceiver. Is he not rightly named Jacob? For he hath supplanted me these two times, and he took away my birthright, and behold, now he has taken away my blessing. Do you remember, ladies and gentlemen, the story of the prodigal son when the prodigal came home? What a wonderful story it is. And by the way, I'm still glad that God, when we come back to him after we've made a mess out of our life, I'm glad that God doesn't, when we get close to him, I'm glad God doesn't say, well, you sure need to clean up. No, he wrapped his arms around him. Amen. He fell on his neck and he kissed him and he said, my son's come home. But there was somebody who didn't like it. The older brother. And you know what he said? He said in Luke chapter 15, verse 30, he said, listen, I've been with you this whole time. I've never left you. I've never done this. And you never gave me a calf. And you never made me a supper. And here comes thy son who hath devoured his living with harlots. And you make a big feast. Bitterness. Bitterness. Why? Bitterness binds us to the past. He just started drumming up the past. Old Esau never got over the fact that he sold his birthright for a bowl of beans. Now, Jacob was wrong. When his brother came in and said he was faint, he should have said, here, have some. He was wrong. But I'm going to tell you something. Esau was the more wrong. But you know what bitterness does? Bitterness doesn't look at when we make mistakes. It looks at when other people wrong us. And bitterness absolutely, absolutely binds us to the past. Bitterness requires us to constantly be reliving and digging up the past. And some Christians do this so often, they could double as minors. They double so far, dig so deep into the past, I think sometimes they have minor caps on when they walk around. Listen, bitterness absolutely binds us to the past. And you know what it does? It ruins a perfectly unspotted present. See, you know what Paul said? Forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forgetting those things. Listen, the bondage of bitterness binds us to the past. You know what else it binds us to? It binds us to the people that have hurt us. I could never understand this. Have you ever been around someone and you got to talking and you were talking about something and you mentioned somebody's name? Maybe just in passing you were talking and you mentioned and you literally watched their countenance change. I've seen it so many times. And I was talking to this and so-and-so and I and... You know what that is? Bitterness. Bitterness. And you know what bitterness does? When you're bitter against those that have wronged you, it binds you to the past. It binds you to people. Listen to me. You give them control over your life. Say, no, I don't. Yes, you do. Yes, you do. You give them control over your life and you allow them to continue. It's much like this, ladies and gentlemen. If you've ever, forgive me, this is one of my faults. I never let a wound heal. I'm always picking at scabs. Isn't that terrible? Terrible. Especially in softball season. If I slide one time in softball season, my knee will be opened up for the rest of the year. Just the way it is, amen. Because I sit there and I pick and I pick and I pick and I pick. And then eventually you get it picked so far, you just go, tear it right off. That's what bitterness is. Just tearing it off and tearing it off and tearing it off and tearing it off and tearing it off. And you know what happens when you do that? Never heals. Never heals. And so bitterness, the bondage of bitterness, it binds us to the past. It binds us to the people that have hurt us. Well, they don't deserve to be forgiven. You're right. They don't. Neither do you. Amen. Neither do you. Listen, take the time. Read Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, the parable of the unforgiving servant, and find out that he was forgiven of a debt of 10,000 talents. And all he did was simply ask the man. He said, please have patience with me, I will pay thee all. No, he couldn't have paid all, amen. He never could have. He was a servant. He didn't own any land. He didn't own any property. He didn't own any business. He was never going to make up that debt. And so you know what the man did? He forgave him. And then that same one that got up off his knees, walked out the door, and found the first one. He said, you owe me 100 pence. 30 bucks. See, that's what bitterness and unforgiveness will do to us. It'll help us to forget what we've been forgiven of. And see, that person that you're bitter against, the truth is they don't deserve forgiveness, but neither do you. And you know what God tells us? He says, be kind one to another, forgiving one another as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. We're not worthy of forgiveness either, but Jesus Christ died for our sins. And because of Him, God forgives us. And because of that, He says, you forgive. You forgive just like I forgive. Praise God for that. Amen. You're bound to these people. You're bound to the people that have hurt you. You're bound to the past. The bondage of bitterness, number three. It binds you to the poison that is bitterness. See, in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 15, it tells us, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. You see, folks, there's some natural laws And I know in this generation of people wanting their rights, they don't want to hear much about natural law. But, you know, ladies and gentlemen, 2 and 2 is 4, whether you say it's 5 or not. Amen? Can I tell you something else? Nature goes, everything brings forth after its kind, male and female. Come on, amen? That's just a natural law. Gravity is a natural law. Can I tell you this? A natural law confirmed in the Bible is a bitter person will spread their bitterness to those around them. Show me a bitter person, I'll show you bitter kids. Show me a bitter person, I'll show you people that don't really want to be around them. Because the root of bitterness springs up and it defiles all around it. It's an awful thing. But I'm telling you folks, it's a natural law. I've seen it over and over and over. If you're bitter, you will produce bitterness around you. It binds you to that poison that is bitterness. Dr. Tom Malone, the president of Midwestern Baptist College in Pontiac, Michigan, he used to say this. He said, it is better to live with cancer in your body than unforgiveness in your heart. Because unforgiveness and bitterness, they go together. They go together. It binds us to the poison that is bitterness. It binds us to the past. It binds us to the people that hurt us. It binds us to the poison. You know what else it binds us? It binds us from the Prince of Peace. You say, what do you mean? When bitterness has first place, another law of physics is that two pieces of matter cannot occupy the same space. If bitterness has first place, then by definition, Jesus has at least second place. You know what he said? If you don't forgive others, I won't forgive you. Now, he didn't mean that we'd lose our salvation. But I'll tell you this, we'll lose our fellowship. And there's a lot of people that have been chewing on bitterness for so long. They haven't had a prayer answered. They haven't had fellowship with God. He hasn't spoke to them in so long because bitterness is their best friend. The bondage of bitterness, it binds us to the past. It binds us to the people who have hurt us. It binds us to the poison that is bitterness. And it binds us from the Prince of Peace. How can we free ourselves from the bondage of bitterness? Well, if you want, you're in Genesis. Look, go to Genesis chapter 33 just to show you it's possible. Here, this is just one of my favorite portions of the Word of God. And I'm going to look there at Genesis chapter 33. I'm going to begin reading in verse 1. And those of you that know this story, here's Jacob and Esau. They haven't seen each other for 20 years. And the last time they saw each other, Esau said, when I see him, I'm going to kill him. That's not good. Chapter 33, verse 1 says, and Jacob lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, Esau came, and with him 400 men. And he divided the children unto Leah and unto Rachel and unto the two handmaids. And he put the handmaids and their children foremost, and Leah her children after, and Rachel and Joseph hindermost. Why? Because he thought they were going to get slaughtered. And he passed over before them and bowed himself to the ground 7 times until he came near to his brother. And I love this. And Esau ran to meet him. And it doesn't say this, I'll parenthesize, and Jacob trembled. You know, he ran to meet him, amen. And he embraced him. And he fell on his neck, and he kissed him, and they wept. Why? You know why? Because he got over bitterness. There came a point with bitterness where he said, ladies and gentlemen, enough is enough. I can't live like this. How do we get over bitterness? Forgive those that have wronged you. If you can't forgive for their sake, forgive for Christ's sake. And if you can't forgive for Christ's sake, forgive for your own sake. Because you want God's blessing. Because you want God's help. Because you want to be able to go to God and say, God, please forgive me of this and forgive me of that. And if you're not willing to forgive others and you just want to dwell in bitterness, then it's not going to happen. You've got to forgive those that have wronged you. But Pastor, you don't understand. No, I don't. But the Bible says to forgive, and that's enough. Amen. Not only that, forgive those that have wronged you. Leave the past where it belongs, in the past. Stop going out with your bitterness fishing pole and casting out into the sea of the past. Come on, church. It's quiet this morning. Amen. Stop doing that. Amen. Stop going to the past every time that Satan tempts you that way. Stop going to the pond of bitterness. Amen. Leave it in the past where it belongs. By the way, I'm sure glad God doesn't do that. Huh. The truth is, I wouldn't want put up on that screen the sins that I confessed to God within the last 24 hours, and neither would you. And God doesn't put them up on the screen. He puts them under the blood. Stop digging up the past. Listen, put your miner's pick and miner's hat away for good. Stop digging up the past. Leave it where it belongs. Forgive those that have wronged you. Leave the past where it belongs. How about this? Work at being content in Christ. You've been wrong. So have other people. And they still serve God. And they still love Him. And they still have a productive life. The Bible says in Hebrews 13:5, we know the verse at the end, but the beginning says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as ye have. For He hath said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Be content with what God allows into your life. Listen, it's hard to be hurt. I've been hurt. You've been hurt. Some of you say, boy, it just seems like I get hurt over and over and over and over. And listen, I'm not minimizing hurts and difficulties. But I am saying this. If you're not careful, bitterness will lead you to discontentment. We're going to talk about it in a couple of weeks, discontentment. And the next thing you know, we get to pointing our finger at God. And that really becomes the issue, doesn't it? Not being content with what God permits in our lives. Work at being content. And I say work at it because it is work. Lord, help me with this. Amen. I don't want to become bitter. And then lastly, forgive those that have wronged us. Leave the past where it belongs in the past. Work at being content in Christ. Honestly talk to God when the temptation comes to become bitter. Because the Bible still says, ladies and gentlemen, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. Oh, God doesn't want to hear about me being bitter. Yes, He does. You say, well, He already knows about it. He still wants to hear it. He wants to hear you say, God, I need Your help. I'm struggling with bitterness. I don't want to be bitter. I want to have Your blessing. Please help me, God. Now listen, folks, you can either allow bitterness in your life to bind you, and there's more it binds us from God's blessings and goodness and things that God wants to help us with, and it becomes this big block of poison we keep biting into, and it's an awful thing. You don't want to be a bitter person. And all God's people said, you're going to be wronged in your life. Bad things are going to happen. Don't allow the bondage of bitterness to pervade your life. Get rid of it. Forgive. 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 Amen. Tell God about it. Amen. He wants to hear about the bondage of bitterness. Father,